You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined by Andy Holding to look ahead to Dundalk's card on a Friday. It's been quite a while since I've spoken to Andy as well, so a little treat for me, a treat for you as well, listeners. Hopefully we can have a few winners on a bumper Dundalk card. Some decent action to look forward to, actually, on Friday evening. We've got 8 races to go at, and we'll get to them in just a moment. But first things first, good morning, Mr. Holding.
Morning, Alex. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Nice to be talked upon in such a glowing term. Usually it's the opposite way around. People be more than happy not to talk to me for over 2 weeks. So
see,
you're very much in the minority.
No, I know. Don't get the opportunity to talk to you that often now. So it's a rare treat for me. And hopefully, as I said, we can have some joy on this podcast, because it's not a bad little card, actually, is it?
It's very good, yeah. I'm liking tonight, yeah. Lots of in-form horses, good competitive racing, and that equates to some nice bets along the way. And I think we've been doing okay at Dundalk recently. I mean, podcasters and regular listeners to this piece will probably be a better judge than I will. But, yeah, I feel as though the last few weeks, like, there's been 3 or 4 winners on each card. And I think if I can get that kind of ratio, then I'm there or thereabouts.
Okay. Right, we'll start with the 5.35 then. It's a handicap over 5 furlongs. And plenty of types that sort of run into each other quite a bit. Not many of them seem that willing to poke their head in front, but there are some consistent types, Andy. What's going to win out in this one?
Well, I'm hoping that Little Sweetheart will win this race. I think it's between her and the top one, Fast in the Wind. They're the two figures horses. They've been running in the best races over 5 furlongs in recent weeks. And I wouldn't say it's a toss of the coin, because that wouldn't be the right way of describing my views with Little Sweetheart, because I do think she'll lead it out here, and if she doesn't, she'll be unlucky not to, because she's got the perfect opportunity to finally get ahead in front here at Dundalk. It was a good run here the last day. She looked like winning. I think I tipped her 8-1 in the morning or something like that. She went off 4-1, a well-backed favourite, and it looked for all the world she was going to win that day. And she made a bright start, got to the front, went 2-3 lengths clear, and to be fair, she did nothing wrong, but that pesky Dan's Gift, who, of course, at the time was rated only 50, in the end, won quite comfortably. But Dan's Gift won its next 2 starts, and he's now rated 75. So you've got to feel a little bit sorry for Patrick Flynn's filly to bump into a horse who's now rated in the 70s. There doesn't appear to be that kind of opposition in the way of her chances here tonight, other than, as I said, Fast in the Wind, who arrives here off the back of a good run behind Chicklet the other day and by Kimbo. Now, those two horses are very good sprinters, as we know here at Dundalk, particularly Tracy Collins's Chicklet, who lowered his colours here last week. Draw-wise, not so good as the Fav, but it certainly will get the run into the race that this horse wants. He wants a fast pace, so it's a pretty easy dynamic to work out this race. Little Sweetheart will definitely lead from the inside gate. She'll turn in front. She'll probably kick 2 lengths clear turning in, and hopefully she's just got far enough a bigger advantage to withstand the potential late runner Fast in the Wind.
OK, race number 2 is the 6.05, and it's a nursery over 7 furlongs. Open little race as well. There's only 6 runners down to go to post. But Stone Mountain just heads affairs at the time of recording, returning from a break for Aidan O'Brien and Donica O'Brien. But there's plenty of credible dangers. True Companion was a winner last time out. See You in Malta showed vastly improved form when we last saw him as well. And Gift Wrap looked like a horse that could have been going places earlier on in the season. That hasn't transpired, but still would have claims in this. It's a pretty open nursery, Andy.
Yeah, as the betting suggests, I think you can't hardly split the top 4 in the betting, sort of 11-4, 3-1, 7-2, 4-1. So it's a very complex affair, as you quite rightly point out. I'll probably go with Gift Wrap here. I've selected this filly before in a couple of races, and although she hasn't managed to win, she's certainly done enough in several starts to suggest that she should be capable at least of winning a race of this nature. She hasn't run since October, but that was a decent effort. In the Colli today, she was up against Sir Mark Prescott's Marsha, as we well know, is a very, very fast filly indeed. In fact, I think Sir Mark's horse then came back over here, I think maybe a week or two later, and ran in a listed race against the older horses and acquitted herself really well. I think she finished second or third. So she was obviously up against a listed filly that day. And she was basically outpaced. She just could not go with a horse who's got such trailblazing speed. Therefore, I think it's a wise move for Mickey Halford to step her up in trip. Whether she gets 7 furlongs, obviously up to question, because it's the first time she's going to run over this distance. We're just kind of in the lap of the gods, or guessing a little bit and looking at her breeding and suggesting, well, that might well be suitable for her. But yeah, it's a nasty little race. You can certainly give Stone Mountain a chance, obviously on the basis that it could be up to any amount of improvement. And we have, of course, two horses in the shape of True Companion and See You Malta have got good course form as well. But I'll go with Gift Wrap, and hopefully she'll find this company a little bit easier to handle than last time.
OK, next up is the 6:35, which is a filly's maiden over a mile. A lot of runners here, Andy, but not many of them who've ran in the past have shown outstanding form. Maybe that's why Love Potion heads affairs for David Washman. Fran Berry takes the rides, unraced daughter of Galileo, who, at the time of recording at least, Andy, about 10 o'clock on Friday morning, has been well supported here.
Yeah, no great surprise, I suppose, because, you know, this is a fairly mundane maiden anyway. Even if you take into account it is just Dundalk in the middle of winter. There doesn't appear to be any massive, massive likely improvers. So, yeah, you're dealing with probably just a handful that could win this race, and then you're looking at the draw and one or two other factors. But, yeah, it's certainly well-bred, this filly, isn't it, by Galileo Love Potion from the Watchman camp. Of course, the stable that had has always had plenty of fillies, decent fillies through his hands. Of course, Legatissimo being the number one last season. Got a good draw as well. So if she's got enough track craft to overcome possible greenness, then she could well take a bit of beating. But I'll go with a horse who at least has had a run here at Dundalk and has got a bit of form and is well drawn and therefore should give us at least a good run for our money. And, you know, hopefully he'll be in the frame at the very least. And that's High Honcho from the Tommy Stack stable. A lot of Tommies usually need a run nowadays, and I just got that impression having watched her video back here the last day behind a horse I fancied, of course, Petticoat Government. She challenged up the inside of the track that day, and arguably it was a little bit quicker down the centre, so you could upgrade that performance. She was certainly not knocked about, and given that she's by High Chaparral as well, you'd imagine she'll improve for the extra step up in distance. Well drawn, as I said, in track one. Means that basically she's got the luxury of going around the inside, saving the ground. So she should have a little bit more energy in quite a few of these turning into the lane. All in all, High Honcho should be in the frame for us, and you never know, she might get ahead in front.
Next up is the 7:05, a handicap over a mile. A really quite open race this, Andy. Plenty of horses, again, that do continue to bump into one another. Very much two different types of horse as well. You've got Takata Blue, Political Policy, Here's Our Music, who arrive here in pretty good form. They are the first three in the market as we speak. But then just in behind that, you've got the likes of Bish and Betty, Rummaging, Spirit of the Law, My Own Tree, who've all been in better form than they are recently. As such, they could potentially be well handicapped if capable of bouncing back. And it leaves quite a tricky dilemma with this. Are you going to stick with the horses that are in form at present, or perhaps the one or two that have the ability to bounce back here?
Yeah, I probably will go with the ones that are in form, to be honest, Alex. Particularly the likes of Political Policy and Takata Blue, and those are the two that I'm going to concentrate on here. The speed figures certainly suggest that both of these two are going to take a huge say in this race. And even though that Political Policy technically has a little bit to find on Takata Blue and Here's Our Music on their last meeting, that was behind Reckless Lad on the 11th of November, his subsequent form has tips the balance in his favour. And at 9-2 this morning, I'm going to go with Gavin Cromwell's in-form four-year-old. Of course, he was a useful horse with Mickey Halford back last season. Still runs in the same colours, by the way, but I don't know what connections have done with this horse, but he's just basically turned him inside out. He seems to have just grown in stature and confidence, and the time figure he produced when he beat Reckless Lad and Hatal Nasser on the 20th of November was absolutely off the scale. It's the fastest time I've got so far here at Dundalk throughout their winter campaign, and therefore I was looking to get with him next time out, but unfortunately he ran over 1.25 for me next time out, and I thought, well, Political Policy, 1.25, will he get the trip? So what did I do? When I left him alone, of course, he bolted up at 7-1. I was kicking myself for about a week, not having punted him or tipped him. But I've got to go with him again tonight, although he's obviously up in the weights. As I said, the main dangers appear to be the two that finished ahead of him the time before. But like I say, he's gone in the right direction so much since that I'd expect him to certainly more than hold his own, if not turn around the form.
Okay, next up is the 7:35. It's race 5 on the card, and it is an apprentice handicap, Division 1 of an apprentice handicap, over 1.5 miles. Empresario and Hatch Hall are the two to focus on here initially, Andy. 4-1 joint favourites at the time of recording. Both coming off the back of wins. Hatch Hall is actually seeking a hat-trick. Both have shown a liking for Dundalk as well. There are plenty of credible dangers in behind, the likes of Riddistan, Ondemora, Sea of Blue, you know, could all get involved. But it's actually quite a good race at this, Andy. And what do you fancy in it?
Yeah, it is. Not massively keen on this from a betting perspective. I think you could fancy quite a few here, and I think because you've got such a big shortlist, it therefore makes it difficult to have a confident bet. I'm going to go with Ondemora, largely due to the fact that if in these circumstances when I get them, I tend to go for the one that he's most likely to run his race. And you look at his form figures recently, 2-2, 1-2, that certainly pushes me in the direction of him. And it was a good run here the last day behind Invincible Don. The two of them dominated the market and the race at the end. And this felt as though Ondemora just took, for him anyway, an absolute eternity to get into top stride down the lane. And it allowed Invincible Don just to get first run on him. But once that horse went by him, he picked up again and just felt as though he's perhaps raced a little bit lazily at some stage. And hopefully Sean Corby will be fully aware of what this horse is capable of doing in his races, i.e. just going to sleep a little bit. Because he does need, like I say, a little bit more, a little bit more motivating than most. But the one thing he does do is come out very strongly down the lane. And I think it'll carry him into the first three at the very worst. You've got Impresario, Hatchall, Riddison all tied in quite neatly with their best form over a mile and a quarter stroke, a mile and a half. I would have given Dove Mountain Half a little bit of a look as well, because on the figures from Wolverhampton two starts ago, he would definitely be up there with the best of these. But I watched the rider on this, Megan de Susan Warren here, sit on the back of this horse here the other day, and that's about as much as she did. I can't back a horse who's got such a modest pilot in the saddle, and that goes to Sea of Blue as well. So yeah, it's a difficult race, but I've fallen down on the side of Ondemora.
Okay, Ondemora the pick in a competitive 7:35. The 8:05 is Division 2 of the same handicap for apprentices over 1.5 miles. That's the 8:05, and this one probably not as strong as the first one, Andy. I think there'll be a few in the first division of this handicap that are a little bit disappointed that they didn't end up in the second division, because it's not as strong. There's less credible form to go on. As such, that may actually make it slightly easier from a betting point of view. But what did you make of the race?
Well, I've got to stick with Credit to Give Her. I still believe in this horse. I tipped him here last time out, and this is not sort of, you know, a following another cliff situation here. I'm genuinely fancying him again here tonight. I thought as though he should have won here the other night. I just felt that he was the best horse in the race, and he was just given a little bit too much to do again by Donico O'Brien. Just things haven't quite panned out for him in recent runs. But the ability's there, there's no doubt about that. I don't think I'm a million miles away in my assessment of this horse, and it wouldn't surprise me at all. Like I say, tonight he popped up. At least we're getting some decent value about him. He was 2-1 last time. We can back him at 7-2, 4-1 this morning. So from an each-way perspective, he's got to be the pick. I'd certainly respect no cash flow. There certainly is plenty of money flowing in the direction of him today. And he caught the eye here last day behind Jan van Eck. Have a look, Ellis. He's certainly going to win a race during the carnival. I'm pretty sure about that. Whether it will be tonight is open to question. He certainly looks as though he's edging towards a mile and a half horse now rather than a mile and a quarter at distances they've been campaigning him on. So keep an eye on him for the future if he doesn't win tonight. And Christie's Call would have been a little bit of a sneaky one, but for his bad draw, he caught the eye here the last day behind. Have a look at Ellis. So, nasty little race, but I'm going to stick and stay loyal with Credit the Giver.
Credit the Giver, the pick in the 8:05. The penultimate race on the card is a maiden over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. Automated Heads Affairs at the time of recording has been well back this morning as well. He's beginning to look a little bit exposed, but certainly brings the best form to the table so far. That said, there aren't many you could give chances to in behind. There's two that the market have found in Alamgear and Valentana. There could be a bit of each-way thievery here from Andy Holding, perhaps. But firstly, is it between these three, Andy?
Yes, I would tend to say so, yeah. I know why Automated has been punted, Obviously, he's been tipped up quite heavily in the Racing Post column. The Irish correspondent's gone for him, and he finished third behind Political Policy here two starts ago. It's just difficult to get massively excited about a horse for me at 6-5 when he's had 17 attempts to get his head in front. All right, he might well win, but I think you go skint in the long run backing a horse like that. So I'm going to take a punt that Mickey Halford's got Almaguer ready to fight for his life after a bit of a layoff. It was an eye-catching run on debut at Navan back in the spring when he finished fourth behind In My Pocket from the John Ox stable. Now, In My Pocket's gone on to win a couple of races since, and I think he's rated in the 90s. I think he was 99 the last count, of, if I remember correctly. That wasn't a bad little maiden, that, and I like the way this horse finished off his race, certainly in keeping with how Mickey Halford's run first time out, i.e. knocked about, but keeping on quite nicely after being unfancied. He's certainly a nice horse as well. He's a real stocky type. He looks a mile and a quarter horse all over. It's a typical Mickey Halford horse in a maiden, this, that's had a nice introduction on the grass. These are the kind of horses he does run here regularly and he wins with. And I think this race is quite weak. So I'm going to go with Almaguer here. And at 7-4, I certainly think he's a better value bet than the Fav.
The final race on the card is the 9.05, which is a handicap over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. Interesting race, Andy. A few of these in decent nick. Heavyweight was a winner last time out on return from a break and has been nibbled at this morning. You Do Go has been well backed as well. A few sort of standing dishes around here running as well. It's not an easy race to call, but what do you fancy in this?
Yeah, I actually think this race is a little bit more easier to work out than the numbers and the betting suggests. The standout horse for me in this race is Heavyweight by a mile. I can't quite understand how this horse has only been raised a pound for winning here last time out. First of all, it was a little bit of a shock to see this horse winning. Not necessarily the victory itself, but it was the fact that it managed to win over 7 furlongs. Because being by Teofilio and having won already over a mile and a quarter, you would have thought first time out, off the back of a long, long layoff, ring rustiness and perhaps lack of match practice might have just counted against this horse. But to be fair, he pulled it out of the fire and he beat a really good field as well. I mean, he beat the likes of Back on Top, who's a 90-rated filly, Penny Pepper, Angel of Joy, Rummaging, Captain Cullen, Dark Alliance, Straits of Zanzibar, Bisham Betty, Onsidia and Sharber Emperor. All these horses are rated in the 80s or 90s. So therefore you think, well, the handicapper, having previously rated at 83 on its last start before he had that sabbatical for 3 years, he would readjust his figures and think, well, I better get this horse back to the rating that he should have had in the first place. But he's only raised it a pound, which is leniency with a capital L. Then you go back and look at its old form and it's won over a mile and a quarter here. That was obviously three starts ago. Did a very good circuit time that day. They went a strong gallop. He sat in there third or fourth throughout that race, and he picked them off readily down the straight. And he beat the inform horses at the time, Shake the Bucket and Way Down South. He's got a great draw here tonight, and he's also got the perfect setup as well with three or four trailblazers, and most notably Charger, who regular podcasters will know goes off like his tail's on fire. You've got Badger Daily and Winterline as well, also going to force the pace. So I'd imagine that Kevin Mann and Lab the Luxury are just sitting in behind the speed here, tracking the pace in third or fourth, round the inner. And then with his 7 furlong turn of foot down the straight and his stamina, he should pick this lot off quite readily. Like I say, I think he should be rated in the 80s. So this is the last chance we're going to get of backing heavyweight in a race like this. And he's very much a heavyweight bet this morning at 4-1.
Okay, heavyweight 4-1 at the time of recording. Remains to be seen what price he goes off in the lucky last. Great stuff, Andy. Great talking to you once again, which is easy for me to say. We'll catch up with you soon, but best luck with your picks in Dundalk on Friday evening.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.